Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts and minds of your people once again. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it is certainly glad to have all of you here. I know there are lots of folks who are visiting with us at Servants of Christ. You've come to be a part of this this baptismal service. You're connected to one or more of the people in this room. And let me tell you, the excitement for us is that we're connected to each of the people in this room. And this is one of those times in the life of the church where it's just glorious. You know, it really is. We have two young children that are going to be baptized in a matter of moments. And they are coming out of families that we actually know already. They're families that were a part of our community here in Gainesville. And then God in His infinite wisdom has chosen to carry them to other places. You know, Gainesville is such a launching pad for folks. One family is now in the Carolinas and South Carolina. The other family is down in the Orlando area. But we're glad to have the Pecks and the Carrolls back. And they're coming to bring these two little ones. And, you know, it's such a neat picture for us of how God desires for us to receive the kingdom. As Jesus said, as little children. We come in humility. We come trusting in our Father. It is the most natural thing in the world for children to trust their parents. And so these are families who know the Lord Jesus Christ. They understand the good news. They understand that to gain Christ, even if it means losing anything else in your life, is the far gain. And these young families are coming to say, we want to commit ourselves to teaching, to instilling in these children, these precious little ones of ours, the knowledge of who Jesus is, the truth of what life's all about, and to begin their spiritual life in infancy. And it's an incredible thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a reminder to us all that we have to come with a childlike faith. And you know, why not take seriously their spiritual life from infancy? Why not be intentional about saying, you know, God, you died for these little children. You came into the world that these children would know life, the life that Jesus brings. So we're going to be intentional about starting. We're going to mark that life right now. In our Anglican tradition, we really focus on the work of God on the cross. When was I saved? 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ hung on a cross for my sins. When He looked at my life, though I was not even born, and went to the cross for me. So we focus on that when we baptize these infants, recognizing that the grace of God, the gracious invitation of the King, has come to them. And they are in the best place of their lives to receive. The problem is, as you all know, as we grow, lots of things will come against them. Temptations from within and temptations from without. And so we're going to pray for these little children because they're going to be hit with the onslaught. If nothing else will get to them, we know middle school will get to them, right? And we all get assaulted in middle school, right? Farmer in the Dale, they call me, and, you know, all those things. If you had glasses and all that stuff, you know. So you know, that's when the assaults begin to come. But the grace of God is greater than those assaults. And so we begin to pray and to begin to pour into these little ones' spiritual lives, even from infancy. So we've got these two little ones to bring forward to you. So it's really a joy to have these two families. But we've also got a middle schooler with us today. So Krista Eskew is coming to be baptized. And Krista is in the midst of that middle school experience. She knows the dangers and the toils and the hardship of that. And how wonderful that Krista has seen through all the muck and all the distractions that life really begins in Christ. That He is the rock that we can hold on to. That He is where we can find our identity when the world is trying to tell us that we are this, if we look like this, or we act like this, or this is what you have to do, or we're supposed to be in love with this or that. Krista has found Jesus Christ to be the rock in the midst of a turmoil and a tumultuous life. And so Krista comes to say, yes, I'm not coming as a baby. I'm not coming with someone making these pledges for me. I'm coming as a young adult who says, I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want Jesus to be my master, my Lord. I want to learn what it means to follow after Him all the days of my life. So we rejoice with that. It's a glorious thing. The Old Testament talks about the fact that God gives us, the Old Testament says that God gives us a new heart and puts a new spirit within us. He cleanses us. He lets us start afresh. And that can happen in any place in life. And then lastly, we have Genevieve coming. Genevieve is one of our adults in the congregation. And Genevieve is coming in the same manner as Krista, except Genevieve was actually baptized as an infant. And she has lived life longer than Krista. She's not in middle school, are you, Genevieve? So she's past middle school age. So, but Genevieve comes as a representative of the fact that we are intended to follow after Christ our whole lives. It's not about just simply receiving a sacrament in infancy. It's not simply about professing Jesus as a middle schooler, as a young person. But the intent is that we would, as Paul says, that we would fix our eyes on the prize. And that we would live our lives intentionally. Not perfect, but with an intention of living and following after Christ all of our days. And that means at times we fall away. In times our love for God becomes cool, maybe even cold. Maybe we lose priority. Maybe we begin to seek after things that we know really bring destruction in our lives. But the good news in Christ is that continually we can be reconciled to God. We can always come back to Christ because He died for our sins. Drew is preaching it back there, so he knows this to be true. We can continually come back to Christ. Paul says in the second lesson, the New Testament lesson, that we who have found Jesus to be the rock, to be the life, to understand that Christ really can forgive us for our sins, cleanse us from all the things that separate us from God, and bring us into a new relationship. For those of us that have found that, we Paul says, we are called to be reconcilers. We're called to be ambassadors for Him. We're called to be people who, not out of compulsion or out of guilt or trying to get you to or somebody else to join the club or to make people feel bad about where they've been, but no, we're to be the people who say, look, I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. I love that. It was an old preacher that said that years ago. Evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. And so that's this work we're given to. And so Genevieve comes as an adult saying, you know what? I was vows were made for me. I was baptized into the hope of the good news of Jesus. And now, years later, I want to stay and say, I reaffirm that what Jesus did for me on the cross, I accept and I recommit my life to following after Him. I heard a story of a guy that goes to his friend's house and his friend isn't home, so he's waiting for his friend outside the house and a bill collector shows up. And the bill collector comes and the friend writes a check and pays the bill collector. And the bill collector goes away. And the guy's friend comes home and he says to the friend, he says, look, hey, I was waiting for you, buddy, and you weren't here. And this bill collector came and I paid the bill. And the question is, that you're probably asking, I'm asking myself, right, is how much was the bill? I mean, if I forgot to put a stamp on the letter and you put 44 cents on, you gave him 44 cents, I'm going to be like, appreciate that. Nice job, you know. But what if I owed thousands of dollars in back taxes, you know? I had a business that failed. I couldn't pay those taxes. I've been outstanding thousands, weighs on my life. I wake up daily in a cold sweat knowing how much money I owe, maybe to the IRS, maybe to a bank. Who knows? What if this guy, this friend, wrote a check for the full balance of all the financial debt you had? Well, that's a different matter, isn't it? I mean, if you did that for me, I'm on the ground kissing your feet, right? You're coming into my house. You're going to be spending the day with me. I'm going to be just loving on you, right? In grateful appreciation. Friends, wherever we are, whether we're at the beginning of our spiritual life, whether we're at a place of recognizing that, you know, there's a time and a place to recommit ourselves, it's always important that we allow ourselves to recognize how great a debt Christ has paid for us. How great a debt we've been paid. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. While we were dead in our trespasses, we were without hope in the world, Christ died for us. One of Jesus' favorite parables is one of a king who wants to throw a wedding banquet for his son, and he invites these people to come, and these people who were invited refuse. They're too busy. They say, you know what, we're just too busy. They don't pay attention. They don't come. And so the king says to his servants, go out into the highways and the byways, and anybody you can find, bring them. And Jesus in the parable says that he brought in those who were bad and those who were good. We have this gracious offer from a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe. And he says, come home. Sit at my table. Be received in. And in the sacrament of baptism, we again remind ourselves that we have been loved by one that we could never repay. And he simply calls us to respond, to receive his gracious gift. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen.